Welcome to this AAT podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the VAT rate change due to take effect from the 4th of January next year, that's 2011. The good news is that the rules governing this rate change are almost identical to those governing the previous two. The bad news is that this rate change is slightly different. Instead of being a temporary reduction in the VAT rate, designed to assist businesses in the recession, this is a permanent increase in the VAT rate designed to assist the government, particularly the Treasury, in its finances. What we need to do is to simply have a quick refresher on the rules, just so that we know what we need to do this time. The first thing we need to do is simply to assess whether the VAT rate at 17.5% is due on supplies, or whether it's the new 20% rate. To do this, we need to ascertain when the supply takes place for VAT purposes. The rules governing this are called the tax point rules. There are two types of tax point. The first type of tax point is what's referred to as a basic tax point, and these can be overridden by actual tax points in certain circumstances. For goods, the basic tax point is the date the goods are delivered, removed, or, if they're not to be delivered or removed, the date they are made available to the customer. For services, the basic tax point is the date that the service is performed. Note there the historic tense, performed. We're talking about the date that a service is completed, not the date it is started. If the basic tax point falls before the rate change, then in principle, the lower 17.5% rate applies. We mentioned actual tax points and the fact that these take precedence over basic tax points. An actual tax point occurs when either payment is received by the supplier, or the supplier issues a VAT invoice before the basic tax point, or where the supplier issues a VAT invoice up to 14 days after the basic tax point. In simple terms, if both the basic and the actual tax points occur before the 4th of January, the 17.5% rate must apply. If both occur on or after the 4th of January, then the new 20% rate applies. Where things get slightly more interesting is where the two are either side of the rate change. Where the basic tax point occurs before the 4th of January and the actual tax point occurs after, there is a choice. In principle, the actual tax point would take precedence and therefore the 20% rate would apply. However, there are specific transitional rules at rate changes which allow the lower rate to take precedence. Essentially, what's happening here is that the law is telling us that the basic tax point can be used on a voluntary basis and the actual tax point laws overridden. This will be of great interest to those businesses who are supplying customers who cannot recover VAT. Here we're talking about private individuals. We are talking about small businesses that are not registered for VAT, and those businesses which have a restriction in their input tax recovery, either because of exempt income or non-business income. The rules work in two ways. Firstly, as we've already outlined, there is the simple fact that if a supply takes place before the rate change, we can adopt that basic tax point rule. The second way that this is of interest is where we have continuous supplies or supplies under some sort of contract. Where we have continuous supplies, we are entitled to value the work done up until the rate change and apply the 17.5% lower standard rate to those supplies. So, for example, a builder might be constructing an extension for a private individual. They perhaps invoice once a month for the works done to date. At the end of January, the builder may raise an invoice for, say, £10,000. £3,000 of that might relate to works which were done before the rate change and £7,000 after. The builder is entitled to raise an invoice showing this and only account for VAT at the lower rate of 17.5% on that £3,000 of work done before the rate change. Any business with services which straddle the rate change is entitled to apportion their services at the rate change date and account accordingly. When carrying out this apportionment exercise, it's necessary to keep some sort of record as to how you've done it. HMRC will, quite naturally, wish to look at any apportionments of this nature to ensure that the amounts of work claimed to have been done before January the 4th have not been loaded to gain some sort of advantage. When carrying out the apportionment, therefore, keep records as to how you arrived at the value for that pre-rate change work. So what we can see from that is that we have several situations. The first is that both basic and actual tax points are before the rate change, and therefore we can apply the old rate. We have a situation where the actual tax point is before the rate change, and the basic tax point is after it, in which case, again, the old rate can be used. Finally, we've looked at the situation where we have the basic tax point before the change, but the actual tax point after it. What we've said is that we can override the normal rules and still apply the basic tax point rate. So far, so good. What we have established is that the lower 17.5% rate can apply in all of those circumstances. The only time where the higher 20% rate has to apply is if both the actual and basic tax points are after the rate change date. This, of course, begs the question, is there a way we can accelerate one of the tax points so that we can plan around the rate change and therefore bring the supply into the lower rate? The answer is yes, we can, but we do have to be a little bit careful. HMRC recognise that some businesses will seek to gain an advantage in this way, and they've introduced what they call the anti-forestalling rules. What these do is that they achieve a situation where some businesses can gain an advantage, but only a relatively minor one, whereas businesses trying to be too aggressive will be caught by these provisions. In simple terms, there are only two ways of achieving what we want to achieve. What we need to do is to bring a tax point, which would ordinarily occur after the 3rd of January, forwards so that it falls before it. We probably don't have too much control over when a service is supplied or when goods are supplied, but what we could perhaps have a look at are the dates invoices are raised or perhaps the dates payments are made. If we can bring forward an invoice or a payment so that it forms an actual tax point in December or early in January, then the lower 17.5% rate applies. Two issues come to mind here. Bringing forward a payment will create cash flow issues for our customers. They may or may not be willing to pay the whole value of a supply up front. Some people have suggested that the only thing they need to do is to pay the VAT element up front. This isn't true. HMRC look at the tax point rules quite narrowly, and I believe that this is correct. If, for example, there is a supply of goods or services valued at, say, £1,000, the VAT element at 17.5% is clearly £175. If only the £175 is paid up front, then HMRC do recognise this as creating a tax point. However, they only recognise it as creating a tax point to the value of £175, and therefore they treat the £175 as VAT inclusive. We've not brought forward a tax point for the full value, only for a relatively small amount. So if we're going to have a prepayment scheme, then we do need prepayment in full, not only in part. Pre-invoicing schemes therefore sound a little bit more attractive. In a pre-invoicing scheme, we're creating the tax point in advance by the issue of a VAT invoice before the basic tax point. Obviously, this is much easier in cash flow terms, as we are creating a tax point purely through the issue of a document, with no money changing hands. The downside is really, in this case, for the supplier rather than the customer. If a supplier issues a VAT invoice in advance and creates a tax point as a result, then they will become liable for that VAT as output tax based on the invoice date. As a result of this, it is quite possible that the supplier would have to pay the VAT to HMRC on a VAT return before they were paid by their customer. This is why many schemes of this nature will require the customer to pay only the VAT element. It's not the payment that's creating the tax point, it is the invoice. And because the invoice creates the tax point and therefore a liability for the supplier, they need to be receiving at least the VAT amount from the customer. Some people have suggested that this doesn't need to happen because they're in the cash accounting scheme. One word of warning here. The cash accounting scheme is quite restrictive in its implications. A lot of people don't realise that under cash accounting, there are some services and goods, supplies of which have to be accounted for outside of the scheme. Whether we're talking about the situation at a change of rate or not, in any situation where a business is raising an invoice before goods or services are supplied, they cannot be accounted for under the cash accounting scheme. They have to be taken outside of the scheme and accounted for under the normal tax point rules. So what we've established is that there are ways of bringing a tax point forward and therefore saving the VAT element. And therefore, if you've got those businesses and those private individuals as customers who can't recover the VAT, then there is a definite advantage to be had. However, remember, what we've already said is that HMRC acknowledge that some people will gain an advantage, but they don't want it to be too big. They've therefore introduced these anti-forestalling rules, which limit the application of such planning. The first thing is that these rules will only ever apply where the recipient of the supply, the customer, cannot recover all of the VAT in full. If you have businesses where the customer can recover all of the input tax, HMRC believe that the only gain possible is cash flow. As a result of this, they are relatively relaxed and therefore will allow planning to a much higher degree. They have put some limitations on this. Firstly, they will not allow any planning between connected parties. As a result of this, pre-invoicing and prepayment schemes will simply not be effective between connected companies or other businesses. Third-party transactions will lay themselves open to planning. However, the first restriction on these is a monetary one. There is a straightforward £100,000 limit. If any transactions exceed that £100,000 limit, then the anti-forestalling rules apply. What this means is that you will not get the benefits you thought you would from pre-invoicing or prepayment structures between connected parties. The second limitation is a temporal one. Any pre-invoicing structure where the credit period exceeds 6 months will also be caught. So any structures where an invoice is raised for supplies which are due to take place after the 3rd of July will be caught. In some cases where we have a prepayment structure being considered, it may be that the customer simply doesn't have the funds to make the full payment. In some structures, the supplier will lend the money to the customer to pay back to them as part of the prepayment planning. Any transactions of this sort are caught by the anti-forestalling rules. The final aspect of the anti-forestalling rules is where the supplier, instead of selling goods or services under a prepayment or pre-invoicing scheme, instead sells options to purchase goods or services at a reduced rate or perhaps free of charge at a later date. HMRC simply see this as an alternative way of doing exactly the same thing and therefore treat it in exactly the same way. The methodology behind the anti-forestalling provisions is very simple. At the time the structure is put in place, HMRC accept that there is a genuine tax point which creates a VAT liability at the lower 17.5% VAT rate. However, as soon as we get to the 4th of January, an additional 2.5% supplementary charge becomes due instantly. Essentially, the 4th of January will become a tax point for the same supply, creating an additional tax point and therefore creating the additional 2.5% at that time. So the key things to remember are that the tax point rules are flexible enough to give you some automatic planning ability through use of those basic tax points rather than actual tax points if they fall before the rate change. And that if you are going to do any planning, it is possible, but there are the limitations which are imposed upon you by the anti-forestalling rules. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.